Guten Morgen. Bonjour. Buenos dias. Good morning. A special welcome. It's great to see Mark Bender here worshiping with us this morning. This morning, Anabaptists around the world are celebrating World Fellowship Sunday. This is usually held around the anniversary of the first adult baptism. On January the 21st, 1525, a Swiss radical reformer by the name of Conrad Grebel baptized George Blaurock, a married former priest at the home of Felix Mons, making it the first adult baptism of the Reformation. We're going to jump ahead several centuries to more recent history. At the Mennonite World Conference in 2006, a statement of shared convictions was created. In my daily work life, I am exposed to these convictions on a regular basis. The statement of shared convictions is a required element of the membership opening process. This morning, I want to highlight number 7. As a worldwide community of faith and life, we transcend boundaries of nationalities, race, class, gender, and language. We seek to live in the world without conforming to the powers of evil, witnessing to God's grace by serving others, caring for creation, and inviting all people to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. As Bonnie plays during our time of anticipation, I ask you to consider this. How do we, in the year 2015, share or express our Anabaptist faith? How do we draw inspiration from Anabaptist forebears of the 16th century who modeled radical discipleship to Jesus Christ? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet God provides for the basic sustenance of life. May our hearts be open to trust you. Look at the birds of the air. They neither study nor plan nor plot their course. And yet God writes the instinct for migration into their hearts. May our eyes be open to see you. Look at the birds of the air. They neither talk, nor vote, nor debate their responsibility. Yet God weaves them into communities which nurture and defend. May our hands be open to serve you. Let us pray. All-seeing God, who delights in the diversity of creation, open the eyes of our heart as we worship, that we may find ourselves renewed and refreshed, ready to share our goodness with the world around us. In the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. It's now time for our first two hymns.
accompanying hymn this morning is in the blue hymnals, hymn number 26, Holy Spirit, Come with Power. Please stand. Our second hymn this morning is in the same hymnal, just 10 pages past that, hymn number 36, God of Our Strength.
Thank you.
would now like to invite the children up to the front, and Carolyn is going to lead them in the children's story.
Here this morning. It was a lovely sunny morning as you came to church today. Did you notice the sunshine? I brought something along today. Does anyone know what this is? A glow, yeah. It's actually something I've had for a long time at my house, and it's called a hug-a-planet, because the idea is it's soft enough that you can hug it and you can feel like you're hugging the whole world, which is kind of cool. So I wanted to hold that this morning while I told the story. So on the way to church this morning, I'm sure some of you felt happy. Yeah. Anyone feel happy on the way to church today?
Not really.
No, not everybody probably felt happy. I understand that too. But we're gonna think for a minute about, you could pretend that you were happy if you weren't really happy this morning. Coming to church to see your friends and visit a little bit and sing some songs. It's kind of most days it should be a happy thing to do. And not every day, we understand that too. What can be hard to imagine, what's hard for me to imagine, and likely for you too, is that some people in certain parts of the world or sometimes in history have actually been afraid when they've been on their way to church, because church wasn't actually of going to church was not something that, it was actually breaking the rules sometimes, which is hard for us to imagine here, because church is such a fun thing, and we come and we see our friends and we sing really loud and it's great. So today, the story I'm going to tell you takes place in a place called Ethiopia. So I brought my planet along. We're here in North America, right? In Canada. And to get to Ethiopia, you'd have to travel all the way across the ocean. And Ethiopia is part of Africa, so it is roughly about. It's not an exact scale on my map, but it's pretty far away. And this story took place sometime in the 1980s, which was when I was a teenager in high school. So that was a long time. And I'm going to have your help in telling the story today. There's one line that repeats a few times in the story, and that line I'd like you to help me with. The line is, "And the church kept growing." So when that line comes up, I will give you the signal, and we can all say that together if you want. Okay, so let's practice it once or twice. "And the church kept growing." You guys are good. Let's try it one more time. "And the church kept growing." You guys are great. So this story does come out of a book. It's from this book called Plant a Seed of Peace by Rebecca Sealing. But it's not a picture book, really. The story I'm going to tell is just on one page. So I typed it out so I could tell it a little bit better. But it is from that book. And remember, this happened in Ethiopia. Okay? "It was a dangerous time for the Mennonite church in Ethiopia. People were only allowed to follow this faith religion, actually against the law to be a Mennonite, which is pretty hard for us to imagine. But many people wanted to join the Mennonite church because they liked what the Mennonites taught. The Mennonite church had 5,000 members, but they were scared and their lives were in danger because they were disobeying the law. And the church kept growing. Then life got even harder for the Mennonites in Ethiopia. The government took the church's money and the land and stopped all its programs and said you couldn't meet together anymore. They wanted to destroy the Mennonite church and lots of other churches that didn't follow their instructions. And the church kept growing. It was even a dangerous time to be caught with a Bible." Can you imagine that? Being told you couldn't have a Bible? If someone was found carrying a Bible, the government would burn that Bible and put the person in prison. So people hid their Bibles and tried to share them secretly. They would sometimes tear pages out of the Bible, which we wouldn't think is a really good idea to do. But they would take these papers from the Bible, read them, memorize the words, and then pass those pages on to a friend. It was easier to do that secretly than with a book. And when they gathered together, they discussed what they had read and memorized, and they talked together. And the church kept growing. So the government took away the church's buildings, and so people got together in their homes to talk about what they had read in the Bible. And they read scripture there, and they prayed. But they had to be quiet because they were doing this secretly. So they didn't sing loud songs like we do. They had to be very quiet. And the church kept growing. The more the government persecuted the church, the more it grew. It was illegal to share your faith with others, but that didn't stop the Mennonites. They kept on inviting neighbors and co-workers to their meetings. They wanted to share the good news of Jesus, even though it was dangerous. And church kept growing. After about 10 years, a new government took power in Ethiopia. These leaders allowed the Mennonites to come out from hiding and worship the way they wanted to. When they counted how many people were in the Mennonite church, they found that there were more than 50,000 members. And thousands more were just waiting to be baptized. So by about 1995, which was about 15 years after the story happened, the Mennonite church in Ethiopia had more than 80,000 members. And now they didn't have to hide anymore. They could build church buildings, they could get together, and they didn't have to be scared and hide. They were going to church. And the church kept growing. So before we go back to our seats, I'm going to say a quick prayer. So join me in prayer. Dear God, we are thankful that our church keeps growing. We are happy that today we were able to come to church without being scared. Thank you for taking care of us. Amen. Okay, you can go.
Please turn in your hymnal to hymn number 305, Where Charity and Love Prevail, hymn 305.
Thank you.
And now for a reading prior to our scripture lesson. If everyone could turn in the same hymnal to towards the back, number 835, writing there of Matthew 6, verses 25 to 33. And I'd like if the congregation on my left, which would be your right, would read all just the normal print, and then the opposite side of the church read what is in bold, and then the very last verse is italicized and bold, and we will read that all together. So we'll start on this side here. Therefore,
I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear.
Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?
Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they?
And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why are you worried about clothing?
Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these.
But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?
Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?
For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows all these things.
But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
A friend asked me this week, what image would you use to describe the kingdom of God? I've pondered it all week and I haven't come up with a great image. But I know I've seen and heard glimpses of God at work this week, and that for me is the kingdom of God. It began as we left the States, Rochester, on Martin Luther King Day this past Monday. Martin Luther King preached, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. That is the kingdom of God." This week I was reminded of a former colleague, Harry Nye, who always has worked with the marginalized in our society. When we were colleagues, he was the director and pastor of Welcome In Community in Hamilton when we were pastors in St. Catharines. He's now a chaplain at Keele Community Correctional Center, a large federally run halfway house in Toronto's West End. And the Toronto Star wrote about him this week. The Mennonite minister has worked with parolees there since 1998. In total, he has helped federal offenders adjust to life after prison for more than 40 years. But due to some federal cuts, he's not been paid since last March, and yet he continues to serve. That is the kingdom of God. On Wednesday, Marcus Bourque passed away. For you, some of you might be familiar with this name. He is the author of many books, and many people have credited their return to faith because of Marcus Bourque's way of interpreting, understanding, and communicating the Bible in a new and refreshed way. A good friend of his shared the following upon hearing of his death. "We were featured speakers together on several occasions, and from our first contact to our most recent email exchange a few months ago, Marcus was a gracious gentleman, a Christian brother, and a genuinely friendly colleague. He never asked to what degree I agreed or disagreed with him. He made it clear that his acceptance of me was not dependent on agreement and that his heart and hand were fully equally open in similarity and difference. That is the kingdom of God. And a marginalized believer blogged this week, "For the God we serve is the God of the unseen, of the outsider and the ignored, the Gentiles of the day. In a dark conference hall, I saw God. I felt God. I wept in the face of God. That is the kingdom of God." This Sunday, as Ruth already mentioned, we recognize World Fellowship Sunday. Together with Anabaptist churches around the globe, we remind ourselves of our core values. The first Anabaptists were referred to as radicals. And I realized this week in a new way that the word radicals has a very different connotation in today's time. And I think that has even increased in the last decade. And so I think I would be hesitant to want to use or refer to ourselves as radicals in our current cultural context. But Anabaptists were known as a group of believers who took the message of Jesus, especially the 40-plus statements in the Sermon from the Mount, very seriously. Taking Jesus seriously was and is the call for all churches. But it was becoming more and more difficult for especially the Catholic Church to live by the radical message when the church was pushed from the margins to the center. When at the center of everyone's life, it became concerned with the status quo. And so the message was often bland and not threatening to religious authorities. The Sermon on the Mount has challenged human and religious assumptions about peace, war, prosperity, poverty, privilege, responsibility, religion, and God. It was at the core of the first Anabaptists, and we need to remind ourselves that it continues to be at the core for us today. Our passage this morning is found in the middle of this Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and ours is right in the middle, Matthew 6. And I'll read it again from the Message. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There's far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. And you count far more to him than birds. Has anyone by fussing in front of the mirror ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion. Do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the field and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop, but have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. In the first century, many people were challenged to acquire the necessities of life. Many faced profound poverty and destitution. Most of the poor were working poor. The great majority were peasants engaged in subsistence farming, which means that after payment of Roman taxes, there was barely enough for survival, and certainly no surplus for long-term planning or even enough to meet emergencies. Into this reality, these statements on the Sermon on the Mount are made. Much has changed since then, and yet we know that there still seems to be discrepancy between the rich and the poor. People across the street and around the world continue to be financially challenged and marginalized. I was intrigued about the latter part of the text for this morning. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Sometimes I would like to ask God why he allows poverty, suffering, and injustice when he could do something about it. But I'm afraid he would ask me the same question. We're called to not worry about the troubles of today, but to take care of God's justice in the world, to move from self-centered to God-centered, to look beyond our own needs to the needs that surround us. Every 500 years, the church goes through a reformation, as some authors claim. Once again, the church has moved from the center of society to the margins. Some of us lament the fact of this movement, and yet I think it gives us great opportunity to reclaim some of our radicalness. Jesus' message was and continues to be about trust, acceptance, and openness. Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is a radical, countercultural challenge. The kingdom of God is described in a wide variety of ways in the New Testament, much of it in parables and sayings. Sometimes it seems to have a mystical meaning, referring to the presence of God. In other places, it seems to refer to a community of people. It also has a political meaning, referencing what life on earth would be like if God were king instead of human rulers. In that sense, as biblical scholar Marcus Borg explains, the kingdom of God is about God's justice in contrast to systematic injustice of the kingdom and domination system of the world. I believe that the kingdom of God, as Jesus described it in the Bible, means a different way of organizing our lives and understanding how we're all connected. This morning, I want to share two stories from our Anabaptist brothers and sisters to illustrate this striving for the kingdom of God. In 1995, Diane and I invited Ed, a local homeless man, to come to our home for dinner. He came over that night and the next and the next. Then he brought friends until we were serving a meal almost every night of the week out of our two-bedroom apartment. We spent a couple of years just listening to our friends and helping with what little we could. After a few years, we realized that the homeless community needed a worship service of their own. And so we began gathering and worship with homeless people beginning in 1999. Over the years, our ministry grew, and we currently rent a facility from the Pacific Northwest Mennonite Conference, where we offer a day shelter, 5 days a week, showers, clothes, a winter overnight shelter, and a small community house, as well as multiple worship services. It is our understanding that to be part of the kingdom is to bring Jesus shalom to those who do not know shalom. As the homeless are increasingly harassed and feared, they experience less shalom. In our facilities, however, people without homes experience respect, safety, and Jesus' love. It is a sanctuary for them, a rock of shelter in the midst of a storm. We don't always have answers, but we provide encouragement. We weep with those who weep, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. Most importantly, we welcome and offer love to even the most difficult of people. The police and other churches send people our way when there is no other help for them. That is the kingdom of God. The concepts of peacemaking and conflict transformation were unfamiliar to Sue and Hyunhor, who grew up in traditional Christian churches within Korean communities. For Sue in the U.S., when she immigrated with her family as a child, and for Hyun, who was part of the Korean Baptist Church in South Korea. The Hers were drawn to Shalom theology and its practical applications for the tensions surrounding them in their local community of Los Angeles. The more they learned about Anabaptism, the more they felt called to start a church with specific outreach to Korean immigrants and Korean Americans. This proved difficult. However, because Anabaptism and Mennonite are not common concepts in Korean culture, and any mention was met with suspicion and distrust. Because of ongoing tension between North Korea and South Korea, any group or organization that hints at a peace movement is suspect of being communist, and this was not working in the Hur's favor. They knew there was much they could offer their local Korean community in the way of conflict transformation. The challenge was to connect with people. In 2012, they had the idea of offering seminars and workshops to Korean immigrants and Korean Americans could experience Mennonite theology and practical peacemaking skills firsthand. They partnered with the Fuller Theological Seminary, knowing it would feel less threatening to host an event at a local venue versus their home-based church. Bit by bit, they reached out and built trust. And as participants experienced the tangible effects of practicing peacemaking, the word spread. That is the kingdom of God. God invites us first to strive for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus used everyday scenarios to define the kingdom of God, to feed our imagination to see the world differently as an unopened treasure. May you think and feel and hear what God might encourage you to do. Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness in your life in 2015. Amen.
Please turn in your blue hymnals to hymn 557. O God in Restless Living, hymn 557.
Thank you.
I would like to invite the ushers to come forward, please. Let us pray. We offer our gifts to you, Lord, with grateful, cheerful hearts. Thank you for meeting our needs on our journey of life, providing what we need when we need it. Trusting you, we can share what we have with others. We do this joyfully together today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have an announcement that you wish to highlight at this time, I invite you to come forward to share it. Thank you.
This Friday night, the ministry team is hosting the movie night, so I invite all of you to come and participate in that. This is an adult evening. It's not a child's movie, so just so you're all aware. If you want to bring a chair, like a lawn chair or something that would be more comfortable than the chairs we have downstairs, you're free to do that, and bring some money because there will be a concession stand to buy a few snacks. Secondly, there's still a couple days left. If you haven't done the Canada Day survey, please go ahead and do that, and I do have a few hard copies with me today as well if you want to do it this morning. Thanks.
I just want to draw attention to the announcement about the women's the Wilmot Cluster meeting, which is going to be held here at Nath Valley on February the 14th. I encourage any woman who is attending this congregation, even if you don't come to Sewing Circle, to join us. It's usually a good morning. It's a nice breakfast, and we have a speaker. The speaker is Phyllis Raymer, who is the present coordinator of the WMCEC, the overall arcing group, whatever. We do need to know how many people are going to be here so we know how to plan. So there is a sign-up sheet, at least I hope it's up there, for you to sign up if you can come. And we need the numbers by the Monday. I should have looked that date up before the week before. Anyway, so the week of the 13th on the Monday that week, we should know. The other thing I do need, and I'll put out a call for some strong gentlemen to maybe two people to come and help set up tables on Thursday. The Thursday night would work, or sometime that's convenient for you before the Friday morning, before Friday. Because we do need to set up. So if there's a couple gentlemen who would like to bail me out on that one, that would be wonderful.
So if you hadn't noticed, we've been using our new sound system for maybe a month or a little bit more, or mostly new sound system, the speakers especially, and the mixer board at the back. Mark asked me to tell people about, so there's a few things when we're sharing and using this mic. You want to get it not here, not here, not here. You don't need to be eating it. It picks up way better than it did before. But just, I don't want to remind everybody during sharing time when I'm passing it out, so I thought I'd do it from here. Get it in the right spot and we can all hear. If it's working now, the last 2 weeks, and I'm sorry, Carolyn and Doris and everybody who listened to the children's story, I don't know what's going on with that lapel. But we're tentatively scheduled February 18th at 8 o'clock. I think Mark and myself and Jim and Matthew and a few of us are going to meet with the sound guys to learn the new system, the ins and the outs. It can be a lot more complicated than just turning the switch on, but I kind of look at it from the easy angle and don't get too in-depth. He told me I should read the manual, and I haven't. So it's got full battery and full reception. I don't know what's going on, but thanks for having patience. And as always, if you're having trouble hearing or you want a copy of a recorded service or any of that, just feel free to talk to me. I'd rather hear from you than have people grumbling and whispering on their own. Let me know so I can turn it up or down either way, and then we'll all be able to hear well. Thanks.
Maybe we need a men's breakfast on why men don't read manuals. There was some laughter, so probably Dan and I aren't the only two men that don't read manuals. So, men's breakfast. Just wanted to know, February 21st, we'll have a men's breakfast. Greg Yancey is going to come and share. Greg would have grown up at Esora, same congregation that I did, a few years older than myself. And he's in part of the faith and sports leadership group that's been meeting and doing a few different things over the past, probably close to 2 years. I'm a part of that group. And I think it'll be just a good morning conversation, faith and sports. The question that I have as far as just announcement this morning, two different people have been our chefs often over the times we've gathered, and for both of those, it doesn't work this time. So we're looking for a head cook. If you're male and feel that that's something you would enjoy doing, doesn't mean you're doing all the work, but it's one person to take charge and say, this is what we're going to have, and then call upon a few others to help execute that. So Ken Cook and I have kind of got the date together and talked to either of us. If you are open to being involved in that role, that would be wonderful. The other thing I just wanted to draw attention, in the community events, on Friday, February 6th, there's the drama Listening for Grace by Ted and Company. It's going to be at Steinman's Mennonite Church. I have 12 tickets. Five of them are spoken for now. It's Steinman's, and there's a few other churches, one or two at Wellesley. I'm not sure who all went together to bring Ted and Company here, and then there's some MCEC money that is there for if you're doing something for the community to draw upon. So that is where the funding's from. So it's not that we're paying for the tickets, but they've given 12 tickets to local churches, and then so they have a way of knowing how many people are coming. And I don't know much about the play. The little phrase about it simply says, the father is in his 50s, is widowed, active in his church, and his son has just told him he is gay. That's the basic tagline about it. And then the play is about how the father, the son, how they process that, the conversations that are there in that journey. If you're at all interested, please speak with me. If you want to know more, if you go listen, there's a poster in that bulletin board in the closet or the coat rack area there. Closet. The coat rack. You know what I mean. And on it'll say Ted and Company, and there is a website address there. If you type in Listening for Grace, Ted and Company, there is a little kind of 2-minute preview. if you're interested to look at more at it. So if you're all interested, be good by next weekend for sure. So if we want more tickets, we can ask if there's more available. And if we only have five or six of us going, then we'd want to give them back so someone else could come from somewhere else. Thank you very much.
We're going to take some time for sharing. And I'll start with a sharing, and then I invite others. Because I think it still ties in with my... I was looking for an image for this kingdom of God, and I experienced it yesterday. 14 years ago, almost, when we moved to Plattsville, a dear person called us and said, "I am so glad you moved to Plattsville. There's a lot of souls to save in Plattsville." Matthew and I knew right away that we probably weren't those right people. That's not necessarily how we express ourselves. And yet yesterday I realized there is a lot of good souls in Plattsville, and we're so thankful to live there. Because Tammy Shawns fell at the hockey arena and fell. She probably couldn't even redo it again. She fell so awkwardly that her ankle looked the other way from her knee. And anyways, she is in surgery this morning. Last night when we kept Cole and Luke, and as we texted last night, she said she saw the face of God in so many in that hockey arena yesterday. So brings me to tears to know that I live in the kingdom of God, and at times at least here on earth, and I think we need to be open to it. And I think that's what I felt, like we need to be open because God is at work in many different places all over the world. And I think sometimes we just need to really see it and embrace it for ourselves. If there's any other sharing that you'd like to do.
Just wanted to share with everyone that not last week, but the week before, me and my best friend, we worked together for a company and we decided to leave. And we started our own company. So we're hopefully going to be launching that this week. So thoughts and prayers on this new endeavor for us. Thank you.
Ryan, right? You and Ryan. Are you guys going to share? I was looking at Susan. Otherwise, I'll have to do it, Susan. I gladly do it.
You can do it, too. Our daughter Amanda and husband Brian Peters had a little baby girl on Tuesday night. Elena Rose Peters. So everyone's doing well, and yeah, lots of fun to have another little girl.
I guess we specialized in the boys, you specialize in the girls. I know that we sent through the prayer chain a prayer for Mary Gingrich. Some of you might not know her. I knew her through, she had come to MOPS some years ago. She's the niece to Wayne and Doris Zare, and the aunt to Abby and Savannah. She passed away of cancer early this week, and her funeral was yesterday. So her son Micah would be in grade two, so 7 or 8, and then Daryl, the father. So the two of them are left trying to come to terms with what life without her will mean. So we're going to continue to pray for them. Anyone else wanting to share this morning? Mark, do you have an update about life in Heimhausen? Okay, sounds good. Let us pray. Lord God, you ask us to love you with all we possess. We're gathered here as your body and bring before you all our joys and concerns for this community and the world. On this beautiful winter morning, we are reminded that you break through the darkness and bring light. Thank you for the beauty of your creation. This morning we praise you for life. We give you thanks for the birth of Elena. We pray for her parents, Amanda and Brian, as they raise her. We give you thanks that they are surrounded by their loving family to support them as they adjust to the stage of new birth and new life. Today, like people in churches around the world, we come with petitions. We have grieving people among us. We need your comfort. This morning, we pray for the family of Mary Gingrich, for her husband Terry and son Micah, for her husband Daryl and son Micah, but also for the extended family as they laid her young yet tired body to rest. May they feel your love and care as they come to terms that life must go on without her. We have sick people among us in mind and body. We need your healing, God. We pray for Tammy this morning as she's undergoing surgery on her broken ankle. Guide the surgeon's hands and let the healing begin. We have despairing people among us. We need your hope. We long for your Spirit's power. Empower us to be a community that offers comfort, that encourages healing, that offers hope. And now we join together with churches around the world as we pray the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We pray that all unity may one day be restored. We pray that together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And we pray that we'll guard each one's dignity and save each one's pride. And we pray that all praise to the Spirit who comes make us one, and they'll know that we are Christians by our love. Hymn 35 from our Sing Praise and Worship, blue binder, please. Hymn 35. Please stand and remain standing for the benediction.
We are
May the Lord, who created the world with love and attention to detail, bless us and keep us. May the eyes of God watch over us and continue calling us to see the world with delight and wonder. May God's presence embrace you and give you peace. Amen.